Hi everyone, it's Candace. Today's date is September 30th, 2019. I'm coming to you from Autism One Radio. Today my guest is Summer Boger. Did I say that right, Summer?
Yes, you did.
Okay, Summer's with eagleforum.org. And this is very exciting. I accidentally stumbled on a couple of emails, you know. I never check my email. So I found these very, very interesting emails in my inbox from Summer. She's with an organization called eagleforum.org. Good morning, Summer.
Good morning. So nice to talk with you today. Hello.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. I know people are busy, and just taking the time to talk to me, I'm very excited. I'm very excited about eagleforum.org. So from what I understand, it's a national organization.
It is.
And you're for God, family, and country, nonpartisan.
Yes.
Awesome. So we can find your website at eagleforum.org?
Yes. Eagleforum.org is the national website, and then each state has their own website and with also local county chapters. So I'm just starting the chapter in San Diego, and I'm under the president of the Eagle Forum for California. And so the best way to get a hold of me right now is through our state Eagle Forum, Eagle Forum of California. Or, yeah, eagleforumofcalifornia.org.
Okay, and we can go to the website, and then it'll have a place for California that we can click on, and it'll take us there.
Well, that is California, eagleforumofcalifornia.org.
Okay.
Yes, and then there's also a county chapter in Orange County that's very active, which is, you know, this county not too far north of San Diego. So that's eagleforumoc.org for Orange County. And if you contact either the state Eagle Forum, which is eagleforumofcalifornia.org, or the Orange County Eagle Forum, if you contact either one of those, they can put you in touch with me. I am just noticing on the eagleforumofcalifornia.org, it has newsletters that you can click on, and it said summer newsletter, so I thought it was mine, but it's just the summer newsletter from the state. So, yeah, but that's the best way to get a hold of me is just by getting a hold of them. If you'd like to be a part of what's going on in San Diego or receive my emails, just let them know.
Well, I noticed that you had promoted a talk by Shannon Primer, who is one of California's best special education advocates. And I was thrilled to see that because we can never know enough about, you know, our rights as a parent of a disabled person. And I see also that you have Michelle Ford. She spoke last week, and I guess she's got a bunch more stuff coming up. But I noticed in your email, which I'm just absolutely thrilled about, you had a Constitution class, I think it was last week, and my girlfriend and I were going to jump in the car and go, but it was up in Reading, and I wasn't able to go. But you had that on Constitution Day, and I think it's so important that we all get on board and learn what our rights are. So I was thrilled to see that. And then I noticed that you kind of broke down the Trump executive order, the new vaccine executive order. Can we talk a little bit about that? So you read that, and what did you come up with?
I deeply apologize. I'm going to have to put you on pause because I just had an urgent matter come up with one of my children. So give me just a minute. I'm so sorry.
Okay. All right, kids. What I'm going to do is try to edit this out. If not, I'll just keep talking. So also today we're going to talk about PANS Resolution 58 regarding the adult mandate. We're going to talk about full informed consent in the Nuremberg Code. Just let me know when you're back, Summer.
I'm ready now.
Okay. Okay, so you broke down the Trump executive order, and what do you think about that? My girlfriend seems to think it's a positive thing that we may get safety in the back door with this. What do you think?
So at first I thought it looked like just a continuation of the mandates. It looked like it was just saying we need to be able to fast track vaccines for any type of epidemic, especially regarding the flu. When I first read it, that's what I saw was fast tracking, making better vaccines. And when they said better vaccines, they were talking about how right now the flu vaccine is grown on eggs. And so that immediately made me think about aborted fetal cell tissues, and does that mean a better vaccine? What do they mean by better vaccine? So at first, upon reading it, I was not very happy. But on taking into consideration some other things, I think that it's important to listen to what President Trump had to say about the executive order in his announcement of it. And so I still have to listen to that, but from what I've heard is that he made it publicly known that our vaccines, the flu vaccine, is made in China.
And it's out of date.
Yes. And
so he's updating our vaccines.
Yes. So these are important things to know, that he's bringing public awareness to this issue. And he's kind of telling these agencies that are responsible for our vaccine program that they need to be more accountable, and that he wants to see the results. He wants to see the safety studies. He wants to see the efficacy. And so these things are hopefully going to bring to light the flaws that are in our vaccine program right now, especially regarding the flu vaccine, because we know that the flu vaccine had more adverse event reports this year than any other year. It was a 400% increase. And we know that it came out in the previous year that the flu vaccine was very ineffective. So I think that we're going to see some healthy changes from this executive order, and that leaves me more positive than when I first just read it. And so I think it's important that we take the time to look up what he actually says about this executive order when he is introducing it.
Yeah, and just for our listeners know, when they say safe and effective, there are no safety studies. There are no double-blind placebo gold standard safety testing. It's not tested against an inert substance, the saline. It's tested against another vaccine, a toxic vaccine. And as far as efficacy, I learned from Dr. Tony Bark, that efficacy just means that, or effective actually just means that it triggers the immune system. It does what it's supposed to do. It doesn't mean that it keeps you from getting the flu. Just so our listeners know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on top of Trump every day with vaccines and just on Twitter. He's there. And if we tag President Trump, we do it at the very beginning of a tweet, and it's .@POTUS. And then it goes into the Congressional Registry. And he has a crew of people, I'm sure, that search Twitter. So that's how the dot before @POTUS gets it out to all of our followers. Just for people that use Twitter will know that. That's a handy little thing to know. Okay, so also I saw on your newsletter about PEN Resolution 58. This is regarding adult mandates, and I hadn't heard this at all before I went through that this morning.
Oh. Well, before we switch subjects, I just wanted to say something else important about Trump and the executive order. So probably most people don't know that back in June of this year, 2019, he also had announced that he was suspending the use of aborted fetuses or fetal tissue in research conducted by our own government scientists. So this was important because he's been very pro-life in everything that he's done in his presidency and very much supported those that are pro-life and our initiatives. And so him saying that was really important. Now, obviously, this doesn't stop the use of aborted fetuses for research and development from other private agencies or in other countries, like where our vaccines are developed. But it is important to note that he did announce that suspension regarding our own government scientists. And that's a positive for me, so that if with this executive order, the agencies come back and say, well, the only way that we're going to make vaccines faster and more efficacious is if we stop using the eggs and we start using aborted fetal cell tissues, I don't think he's going to go along with that. And I think it's going to actually expose a lot of what they've been doing and why they go to China to use these aborted fetuses to make vaccines. So there's 6 vaccines in the main, handful of the schedule that have aborted fetal cell tissue in them, MMR being one of the main ones. So it's important to think about this because I really see that if somebody's not pro-life and they think that it's okay to take a baby right before it's supposed to be born and abort it a lot of times still living. I mean, this is what we're finding out now, still living, and then take its body parts while its heart is still beating.
Yes, without
and
any
then use any that pain for killer. Use that for research and development and to put in our vaccines. Like, if all of this is going to come to light, then to me, the people who are involved in something like that cannot have to be godless people who don't have the same values or morals as myself. And so to excuse it away and say, well, it's only a couple of babies is not true, because research and development, like just for like one study, they'll order like 4,000 babies. So to say that, to try and excuse away and say, well, there's not really a problem with the DNA strains or fragments or tissues getting into the vaccines, it is just ludicrous, because all of the studies that are coming out now are proving that it's above the safety standards. It's how much DNA fragments are left in our vaccines. And we know that it's causing cancers and leukemias and possibly autism, because the studies are showing that when these things are used and injected, that the likelihood of getting leukemia or getting autism is significantly increased. So if that's what the studies are showing, then all of this might be coming to light as
Summer, do you know, that was a recent study, I saw it, from gene mutation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where we could find that, do you, that study?
Specifically on gene mutation, I'd have to have more information to know what you're referring to.
Yeah, that autism is, they're finding it from gene mutation. And, of course, we know that the aborted fetal tissues cut into the DNA, and Marcella Piper Carey from Vax Truth has that article, You Cannot Be Pro-Life and Pro-Vaccine. So you can go to that article, and inside that article is the PowerPoint where she cites the science on how it causes chimerism, which means it cuts into DNA.
Yeah, so there's several good websites that talk about this. And so one is Vax, V-A-X, Truth. org. That one is Marcella's site, and she goes into very good detailed explanations. The other one is soundchoice.org. They also, that's Teresa Deischer's, and she also talks about the DNA fragments that are left in the vaccines. And the other one is the Children of God for Life.org. It's condensed, so it's just C-O-G, Cog for Life.org. And that one of those three websites will definitely have the study that you are referring to.
Great. So that falls right into another subject we were going to talk about, fetal cell DNA. So you can just cross that off your list because we're talking about it now. So 4,000 babies to find that one cell line that they can use for a vaccine?
Yes. What the – it didn't say, but it said that a college had ordered 4,000 babies for a research study that they were doing. And that was just one study. And when we talk about what Dr. Plotkins has admitted to the use of aborted fetuses for different types of studies throughout his many years as a scientist, there's so much that we don't know. But if that is just one order for one study, and you think about how many studies are out there, how many would have to be ordered, it is a big industry. And that ties into Planned Parenthood and the selling of baby body parts and their push to get more abortions and how they tell women that they can donate the body if they're unborn to science, and it's a way of coercion, making them feel better about their choice. So, yeah, I'm sorry. If somebody is pro-choice and they're running for office, to me, they don't value life. If they don't value the life of these innocent unborn, why would they value my life? If they don't value their life, they're not going to value what I have to say or my life. And so for me, that's an identifying factor of whether I will trust that person or not as representing me in my area.
Well, Del Bigtree had reported on Dr. Plotkin a while back from the High Wire with Del Bigtree, and he was talking about Dr. Plotkin and Dr. Plotkin's testimony. Dr. Plotkin admitted that they experimented on disabled children, orphans, prisoners. So these people have no moral compass.
No, they take the people who would be considered the least of these or unuseful and experiment on them. And he totally admitted to that.
Which brings us to their violation of the Nuremberg Code and full informed consent.
Yes. Yeah, so the Nuremberg Code, I hope everybody's familiar with. I mean, that's Nazi Germany. Back in 1947, the Nuremberg Code and the Tuskegee experiment, which was in 1932 through 1972, both ended because they were exposed by whistleblowers, and that's exactly what we have going on right now with Merck and the MMR. We have whistleblower William Thompson. We have other whistleblowers too, but he's the most well-known. That's how we stop these kind of insane things that are happening.
And let's remind our listeners that the Tuskegee experiment, they were giving black men syphilis.
Correct. On purpose. To see what
and
would
not
happen.
Treating it.
Not treating them.
Just to see what would happen.
Yes. Uninformed. They were uninformed of what was going on, unaware, suffered in misery and agony, untreated.
And they called it bad blood. Bad blood.
Yeah, it's interesting where these phrases that we use on a day-to-day basis come from, right, when we think deeper about it.
Yeah. You know, and now they're tossing around whether or not people can opt to be euthanized. I don't know if that's law yet. I'm not up on that, but
it is a law.
That will be standard of care.
Yes, and it is a law
like
here in California.
I'm sorry?
It is a law here in California that you can, you have to jump through some hoops. You can't just, like, go, like, to the drugstore and get it. But, yes, you can opt to euthanize yourself.
But that's right now. This will progress very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because the powers that be do not value our seniors. I'm just saying. That's just for now. This will progress.
For them, it's all a numbers game. It's all about money and industry. And at the end of the day, it's what's on their books. It's not about what's best for society or a human being. It's about the numbers at the end of the day. So if it costs more to keep somebody alive than for them to die, then they're like, sure, you want it, here you go, you know. So they're more than happy to give you that option.
Okay, let's talk about PAN's Resolution 58. Hadn't heard of it. I read about it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about PAN's Resolution 58. We all know Senator PAN.
Yeah,
he's been a pain in our side since SB 276, AB 2109, actually.
If there's anybody that should be vilified, it should definitely be him, and we can thank Joshua Coleman for doing such a great job on that. And we definitely do not want him going to higher office. We definitely don't want any doctors in office that are not representing the people and are representing the pharmaceutical industry, which he's doing a great job of representing the United Nations Agenda 21.
Yeah.
Communist
China has reached our shores.
Yes.
Senator PAN.
He's Chinese, and I don't know if it's in his blood or what, but it sure seems that way to bring the mentality of China directly to California. If there's anybody that we should do everything possible to keep out of office in the future, it would be Senator PAN.
And we are not condoning any kind of violence. We are not we play fair, we play by the rules.
But we should make everybody well aware of how he's treated the people in California.
Yes.
So, yes, it's an education, information. That's how we want to combat evil. So there's the Healthy People 2020 goals, which
reported on that two years ago. That's tinyurl.com/healthypeople2020. And Dr. Sherry Tenpenny broke that down. You can find that at tinyurl.com/healthy2020.
And that's part of a bigger agenda from the WHO, the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization, I think it was back in February, declared that anybody that's vaccine hesitant, that means you want to be on a delayed schedule, you want to pick and choose which vaccines you want to ask questions about vaccines, you are a vaccine hesitant. Declared anybody who's vaccine hesitant as a top 10 world threat. So if you're listening to this, welcome. You probably are one of the top 10 world health threats at this point. And why is that? Because we're asking questions, because we're demanding answers.
You can answer for me. Now, the CDC takes direction from the World Health Organization, isn't that right?
It does.
And our county health department takes direction from the CDC.
Yes. Getting back to Senator PAN, right? So he's slowly encroached from the time that he was an assemblyman to now being a senator, and he has lofty goals of becoming state controller, as far as I am aware. And so he passed SB 277 back in 2015, which was the biggest loss of parental rights. We had more people than ever in history show up at the Capitol to oppose that bill, and our legislators who are supposed to represent us passed it anyway. And then again for SB 276 this year, which not only doesn't take away parental rights, because that was already done, so much as it's taking away the right of a doctor to have a relationship with their patients and to make medically sound decisions, to give them an exemption without the scrutiny and the tracking of a board that's going to look at these doctors and say that their license and all of that time that they spent in medical school was for naught when it comes to these children who would want an exemption for school.
Yes, first do no harm.
Yeah, so it's totally tyrannical and definitely very un-American. But
so SB 276 took away the doctor's freedom to write a medical exemption for children who would be at risk for vaccine injury.
Yes. So now if any new exemptions are to be written starting next year, so if you need an exemption and you don't have one for your child to attend school, if you can even find a doctor that will write one, because in California they called over 880 different medical offices asking if my daughter or son or child that I'm a guardian over has had anaphylactic shock to a vaccine, can you write a vaccine exemption for us? And 880 medical offices said, no, we don't do that here. And they're receiving incentives for having high vaccination rates within their practice. So they don't want to jeopardize that. They don't want anybody coming and scrutinizing their office because they've written some exemptions. And this new bill has a trailer bill on it as well, 714, which then says that if a doctor writes more than five within the year, and five could be one family if they have a family of four or five children that all suffer from the same kind of genetic issues, that they will be scrutinized. And if a school falls under 95% rates for vaccine compliance, then they also will scrutinize any of those exemptions. And now exemptions will only be for children who are under the CDC guideline of for anaphylactic shock, which is like a bee sting, right, from a vaccine, or from encephalitis, which is brain swelling, brain trauma from a vaccine.
Which is what we believe happened to our children with autism.
Yes, brain inflammation, acute encephalitis. Is that high-pitched screaming that they have in the vaccine insert, as well as encephalitis? That's what causes the high-pitched screaming, is that brain swelling, trauma, inflammation.
And just so our listeners know, these medical doctors can earn commissions up to $700,000 if their patient population is 100% vaccinated.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Up to $700,000 in commissions per year.
Can you imagine if your paycheck went from $100,000, $200,000 a year to $700,000 a year?
That's why they will not allow anybody in their practice that is not vaccinated or anybody that's looking for a medical exemption that's part of it.
Yeah. So, yes, there's definitely some deeper motives going on. So, obviously, we now know what these bills are. Those were the most recent bills that Senator Pan has had to take away your rights to medical choice about what kind of biologics are even pharmaceuticals are going to end up in your body. You can just see where this is going. And so first he came for the children, and now he's coming for the adults. And so a resolution is just a precursor to a bill. And he came out with Resolution 58, which basically says that adults right now are only 30% compliant with getting their shingles vaccine. And, oh, my, this isn't good enough. And, you know, we're well falling below our target rates for them getting their influenza and pneumococcal vaccines. So as a part of Healthy People 2020 goals, we're going to put in a resolution that we're going to do everything that we can to bump up our target reach to our adult audience. So
yes, because we cannot have herd immunity if the adult population is not fully vaccinated.
Oh, yeah, no, there's all of these adults walking around that who knows how long ago their vaccines waned away and they've been walking around without any immunity to these different diseases.
And I am imagining that we won't even be able to go to the grocery store. We won't be able to get a driver's license. If you're a contractor or a hairdresser, you will not be able to get your license. That's
exactly
what I'm looking at.
Exactly. So as you can see from what's already happened, you can see where this is going, and it's literally Nazi Germany all over again, if you ask me.
I agree.
We've seen this before. And so if we forget our history, if we're unaware of our history of just how Nazi Germany came to be that way, is they just little encroachments. Everybody thought it was great. So everybody thinks, wow, Senator Pan and the CDC are so great. We can trust them. They're doing us a service. And then when it's too late is when people will wake up and realize what bad circumstances they are in. It's the exact same thing. We've been through this before.
But it's not just that. The precursor is kind of the violation of our medical information that they're going to be able to access. At this time, we have a right to privacy, but we know that county health officers all over California, Dr. Charity Dean, sent the school district letters telling that they, in Santa Barbara County, saying that they needed to send all medical exemptions over to county health. It was a pilot program, and come to find out, she did not have the power to do that. She committed fraud.
Yeah, and then...
But not only that, it's also it's a violation. What is it called? Discrimination. It's a discrimination problem.
And that's exactly where we're headed, is towards discrimination, which is already happening, and segregation. And that's what's happening in New York right now. And this is not just one county or one state. This is an agenda throughout the world that we're seeing play out here in America. And we're seeing them going after counties. Santa Barbara County, you were just talking about, San Diego County. We had a Voice of San Diego do a public record request to find out how many exemptions are within our schools. And they, the San Diego Unified School District gave them more, I feel like, than what they even asked for, which was specifically which doctors were writing these exemptions. And the line that says what they were for, which in certain cases it was descriptive enough that you, if you went to that school, if you were in the administration of that school, you would know exactly which child they were talking about. So this is huge, huge violations of HIPAA and FERPA and our ability to keep our privacy regarding our medical records, and this is just the beginning. And they're doing this, it's racketeering. According to Leah Dundas, who's done some great work, physicians, advocates, what's her thing?
I think she's been working with Physicians for Informed Consent. I'm not very sure.
No. It's like Advocates for Physicians. Let me look it up really quick so I don't give you guys the wrong information.
So what she did, she was speaking on the steps of the Capitol during SB 276. And I believe it was A Voice for Choice and Physicians for Informed Consent had done a bunch of FOIA requests and found out that the county health officers were looking to, quote, smoke out the doctors that were writing the medical exemptions and to go after the parents of children who are medically fragile. They were looking forward to being sued by us.
Yeah, so Advocates for Physicians' Rights is what it is. So Advocates for Physicians' Rights, which is Leah Dundas, who's an attorney and has been doing some great investigative work. You can go to their Facebook page and you can listen to what she had to say in her press conference. But
so our listeners know, I've been looking for that interview for 2 weeks. They did get back to me, but we haven't put a time together for that. So looking forward to that. So that'll be coming up.
Yeah. So what they found was that before they even wrote SB 276, they had a whole racketeering plan of how they were going to go after doctors that were writing medical exemptions. And so now San Diego County was the highlight county for all of this because A Voice of San Diego public record request showed that a third of all the medical exemptions were written by a specialist doctor down here because most doctors have no clue, never have read a vaccine insert, have no idea what the adverse effects are, don't know how to look for them, and because they don't know what to look for and they've never been trained for what to look for as far as adverse events, none of them are getting reported. And we have the government's own document coming out this year that was a grant that they did, so federally funded, showing the summary at the end of that whole study was that only 1% of all adverse events regarding vaccination are ever reported. So that's the government's own federal funding telling you that. And so it's just the tip of the iceberg, the amount of families that are showing up at the Capitol saying this affects our family. We need medical exemptions. What are you doing? And opposing this crazy tyranny that's happening, it's only the tip of the iceberg. So A Voice for San Diego found out that a third of all medical exemptions were being written by one doctor. And so now all doctors in San Diego who've written medical exemptions and were in this public record request, which is now 31 doctors in San Diego or around San Diego, are all being investigated. So they're just witch hunting these doctors. And according to Leah Dundas, he's asking for the Attorney General's office to investigate her findings and prove her wrong, which they won't. It's racketeering that is completely happening in our state, and it's just phenomenally crazy to me. It's mind-blowing to think that this is what's happening in America.
And it's very, very corrupt. It's very, very corrupt because of our Constitution does not allow for this kind of behavior.
And that's personally why I am supporting New California State, because they follow the Constitution, and what it is that they're doing is exactly what's been done when West Virginia separated from Virginia, which was they followed exactly what it said in the Constitution that they could do. We have a monoparty in the state that it's super Democrat heavy. The Democrats have shown that they have no regard for life and that they have no regard for the medical tyrannies that's happening against us. They don't care. They're passing these bills anyway, along with a bunch of other things that we don't have time to go into. So we have no representation in our state. It's not a republic anymore. And a republic means that we have at least a two-party system and that we have representation on our values. And those that we've elected will represent us properly, and that is not happening.
Yes, currently they've violated their oath to uphold the Constitution, and they are not called representatives anymore. They're called lawmakers.
Correct. Yes.
So this is tyranny.
Yes. So one of the things that happens is that we have full-time legislative bodies that they think that their job is no longer to represent us, but to write laws. And that's, I just wanted to emphasize what you said. So what New California State is doing is following the Constitution exactly the way that West Virginia did. And so nobody has tried to do it since 1850, but they are the only real organization that is doing exactly what has constitutionally been done in the past. And saying that we do not have representation, we do not have protection against violence, we do not have protection against foreign and domestic invasion, and thus we have declared independence and want to form our own state, New California State. And the reason that this is important to this issue is because they will make sure that their state is completely founded upon the Constitution, just the way that the Founding Fathers have designed it, which means that they're writing resolutions right now that will have the protections for parental choice, for medical choice,
human rights, for natural rights, God-given rights.
Yes, for the natural law, God-given rights that were outlined in our Constitution and in the founding of our country, just the way that it was designed to be, which those things are the things that made our country a success, that have made it great over the years, and that's what we want to preserve. And so if New California State comes together and gains their autonomy to become their own state, that will afford us the protections of the Constitution, and it'll shine light on the other states that have this exact same thing happening, where the densely populated areas, so for us it would be Sacramento and San Francisco and Los Angeles, are taking over the whole state, and the rural areas in general do not have the same values or the same ideals that these highly dense areas do. So, like, Chicago runs Illinois right now in a lot of their legislative issues. And so it's that same kind of thing. So we would be taking back all of rural California to become New California.
Now, and Summer, can I get you for another interview, and we can talk about this New California State?
Oh, yeah.
I'd really like to know more.
Yeah.
I thought it was an issue about water.
Yeah, so it would be so great to talk more about that, but I just definitely wanted to introduce the idea of that's our safeguard, and I really support that idea. So you can definitely go to newcaliforniastate.com and find out more about how that's working, what their grievances are, and what they're doing to bring about the new state.
I can't wait to hear more about that. Now, I have to get the kids soon, so I want to go over. I just want you to tell us about some upcoming events, and we'll go over your website again.
Okay.
So what's coming up? I saw that you had Michelle Ford. You were promoting a Michelle Ford talk, I think.
Yeah. So Michelle Ford actually was just at our meeting last week, And she also spoke last night at the Orange County meeting. And we went over a lot of the things that we just talked about now. And we're just continuing to help people see what it is that we need to be questioning, what our grievances are, and how we can move forward with what's been happening. And one of the things that we talked about last night was in Washington, D.C., this coming November, we're going to have an event called VI, which is just short for Vaccine Injury Epidemic. It's an event where we're all coming together at the National Mall in Washington, D.C., at the feet of Abraham Lincoln, those steps right there, to show our numbers, our unification, and our support to see change when it comes to this epidemic that's going on that everybody wants to, well, not everybody, right, but the powers that be want to just brush under the rug and say doesn't exist. And the only reason that they're doing that is because, like I said, at the end of the day, it's so lucrative for them because they're not held accountable or liable because of the 1986 National Vaccine Injury Act, Compensation Act, that makes it so that they don't ever have to see a day in court for all of these right. injuries. So the tip of the iceberg, the 1%, the canaries in the coal mine, are crying out in a grassroots effort to bring awareness that vaccine injuries are real and that it's an epidemic that is being undiagnosed in the current agencies that we have in this country regarding
ADHD,
vaccination.
ADHD, childhood diabetes, Crohn's disease in our children, these illnesses that used to be only in old people, now we're seeing it with our children.
Yeah,
it's not just autism. 54% of our children are sick.
Yeah. So before the 1986 Act, 12% of children, which is still high, had some kind of chronic illness. Now we're up to 54%.
And we have the highest infant mortality rate in a developed nation.
Why is that? And do you know that right now if a child dies of SIDS, there's no autopsy to check for the toxicology?
Yes.
To check for the inflammation, the encephalitis?
Yes. And our kids will get three shots on the day they're born.
The simple things that would connect the dots are purposely not being done. And we're giving children, so no matter what you think about vaccines, the fact is that we're giving children, little babies, that are maybe 15 pounds, 16, 17 pounds at 6 months old, they go into the doctor and they get two shots in the arm, two shots in the other arm, two shots in the leg, and maybe one in the other leg. They're getting six, seven shots.
Yeah, my son got seven at 2 months old.
That's insane.
54 by kindergarten.
How much did your baby weigh at 2 months
old? Not very much. And he got three the day he was born.
And they're getting, I mean, how many vials of fluid is that with known neurotoxins, known viruses, live viruses and dead viruses? And
polysorbate 8.
Yeah, disgusting stuff. I mean, monkey kidneys, mouse parts and aborted fetal parts, and it's insane. And then we think that a child's body at that age, 2 months old, 6 months old, is supposed to be capable of handling that onslaught. I'm sorry, but I really believe that any doctor that thinks that it's perfectly okay to hold a baby down like that, that is –
assault.
It is assault and battery and worse. To me, that is manslaughter. That is like attempted manslaughter on a little baby.
The thing is, they give the preemie babies. So if your child is underweight for being 6 months old, they're going to give the same shot to a child that's half the weight of a typical six-month-old. If your baby was born preemie, they're going to give them the same dose as they would an adult. So this is really just absurd.
And how many adults would consent to even getting three vaccines at the same time? A lot maybe wouldn't, let alone six or seven vaccines. And those adults who have done that, which isn't enough adults, will tell you how long they did not feel well after doing that. And we expect a baby to go on healthy after we do that?
Yeah, we're finding a lot of autoimmune disease with these vaccines. If you're lucky enough not to get brain damage, it's a whole systems wreck. That's what autism is. And it's I saw it happen after my child's vaccines. I saw it. And along with a million other parents just like me that saw their child harmed by a vaccine, and we were told that that was a perfectly normal reaction. So let's wrap it up, and I am going to talk to you and see when we can talk again. I love this interview. I love talking to you. You are such a wealth of information, and you're so well-spoken. I'm so thankful for this interview today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I'm just so glad to be a part of Eagle Forum and to stand for the Constitution and to stand on these conservative values, meaning that we're pro-family and pro-life, and we're willing to speak out as part of being in Eagle Forum. We're willing to speak out about what's going on with our policymakers and what's going on regarding our liberties, and inform you guys so that you can make choices as to how you can participate in our government matters, how you can participate in your communities, and how you can move forward.
How long has Eagle Forum been?
So Phyllis Schlafly originally started Eagle Forum in the early 70s, and she was on all sorts of national news and talk shows regarding being pro-life and pro-family and pro-constitutionalist, and she lived until a few years ago, and now her daughter, Anne Corey Schlafly, has taken over along with Uni Smith, and Uni Smith was the person that Anne Schlafly picked to become the new president. And so they've been around for a long time and are a great national organization. And you can find out more about them just by going to eagleforum.org and finding out more about what we stand for and what we do. And I can tell you really quick what our mission is. It's to enable conservative, pro-family men and women to participate in the process of self-government and public policy making so that America can continue to be the land of individual liberty with respect to the nuclear family and public and private virtue and private enterprise. So that's what we're doing. We have Constitution conventions, both within the state chapters and at the national level every year, as well as monthly chapter meetings. So it's a great organization to be a part of.
And then if we wanted to create an Eagle Forum per county, if there isn't already one, it would help us to organize.
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to encourage my peeps in Santa Barbara County to take some direction from Eagle Forum, maybe even start up a chapter. And I would encourage everyone to seek out these events, find the newsletter, subscribe. Let's get it together, people. We need to get together. So that's eagleforumofcalifornia.org.
Yes, it's a great way to support candidates moving forward that stand on our same values. It's a great way to mobilize our grassroots efforts and to stand with the Constitution and protect our rights. So I definitely encourage that if you need help, reach out to us. We're here. We're happy to help you create a new chapter.
Awesome. Summer, thank you so much. I'm going to contact you again, and we're going to pick it up where we left off. I love this.
Well, thanks
thank
so much
you
for
so
having
much.
Me today, Candace.
You have an awesome day.
You as well.
All right. Bye-bye.